is when, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you become spiritually alive. And when you are spiritually alive, God calls us to be dead not in sin, but dead to sin. So let me ask the question again this morning. How many dead people are here this morning? Well, more of you are getting the message. And I hope before we finish in the next few minutes, all of us will get it. Did you hear it? You're either dead in sin or you're dead to sin. And I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3, because the way to be dead to sin is to be raised with Christ. And I want you to think with me this morning about resurrection living. That's entirely different from cemetery living. Everybody who has not received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is really living in a cemetery. But if you have received Christ as Savior, you have been raised from the dead. And I want you to see that in our text. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 begins this way. Since then you have been raised with Christ. It's just as though you walked out of a tomb and you are a brand new person in Jesus Christ. And by the way, I've got good news for you. You're going to live forever with Him. Are you getting excited now? Resurrection living is the most wonderful living there is on planet Earth. And God wants every one of us in this room and everyone in the world to come and receive Jesus as personal Savior and Lord and begin the life of resurrection living. Now, Colossians chapter 3, I believe, is one of the amazing chapters of the Bible which summarizes what it means to live resurrection living in every dimension of life. We're going to see that in a few moments. But right now, I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3, and I want to share it with you from the New International Version. You may have other translations, that's fine too, but as you follow along, I want you to hear the wonder of what it means to live resurrection living. And here's what it says. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. There it is. You died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. Imagine that. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Wow. Therefore, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever What's the next word? Grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you have been called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, you heard this verse this morning already, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, do not be harsh. Love your wives, but do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, or we could call it employees in our day. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Everyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. And chapter 4 continues, masters or employers, provide for your slaves what is right and fair, since you know that you also have a master in heaven. Now, what do you think about that? Did you realize that we've just talked about every relationship that you can have in life in that little succinct chapter? And it all has to do with what verse 1 says, since you have been raised with Christ. Now, I'd like to take you to a very special place. This next picture will show it. I'm taking you to Jerusalem. Did you realize that of all the nations of the world, the most important nation in the world, as far as God is concerned, is that land of Israel? And of all the cities in the world, the most important place is Jerusalem in God's economy. And of all the places in Jerusalem, what you're looking at right now, where you see that golden dome, is the most important spot on planet Earth. Why? Because God chose that place where His name should dwell and the focal point for the worship of God's people. Now, most of us have never even been there, and you don't have to go there to worship God. But what I want to tell you is this, that things happened in that city which have to do with you. In the city of Jerusalem, just outside its walls, Jesus died on the cross. Because I was a sinner and you're a sinner and all of us are sinners and all of us need a Savior. And God knew that I and you, none of us could pay for our sins. You could go to hell for 1,000 eternities and never pay for your sin. People go to hell not to pay for sin, but because of sin. Only one person could pay for sin, and that's Jesus. And he did it in that city. I'm so grateful. Are you? But not only did he die, he rose again in that city. Isn't that wonderful? Let me show you the next slide here. There's a place at the north side of outside the city walls called this place of a skull. You can almost see it. Kind of looks like two sunken eyeballs there, and it looks like kind of a skull. The Bible tells us that Jesus was crucified at a place called Golgotha or Calvary. By the way, if you, I like the word Calvary. It has a nice ring to it, but it really means skull. So if somebody goes to Calvary Church, they're going to Skull Church. How do you like that? But it speaks of death, doesn't it? And there was a place in Jerusalem where many crucifixions took place. And there were skulls around there too. And it was in that place where Jesus was crucified. But the Bible tells us in John chapter 19 that when he died that Friday afternoon, just a little ways away was a garden. And in the garden was a tomb where nobody had yet been laid. It belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. And he and Nicodemus took Jesus' body off the cross and placed it in the tomb. And Jesus' enemies thought, well, that's taken care of that, all right, hasn't it? But you know the rest of the story. On the third day, early in the morning, resurrection morning, a miracle happened of all miracles when Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And this is a picture of what's called the garden tomb. And some of you have walked inside of that, and I have too. And when I take groups there, I say, I'd like you to go inside the tomb and discover that it's empty. And then when you come out, I want you to stand in the doorway. I want to take a picture of you, and I want you to say this. I have been raised from the dead. Now here's inside the tomb, and you notice it's empty. And here's the next picture. He is not here, for he is risen. Jesus is alive. Did you realize that of all the great religions, the founders of those religions are all dead? You'll never find a person by the name of Buddha walking around anymore. You'll never find a person by the name of Muhammad walking around anymore. And the list is long, but there is a person by the name of Jesus Christ, who was dead, but now is alive forevermore. He has been raised from the dead. That's almost enough to shout, hallelujah, isn't it? Of course, we wouldn't do that, would we? Hey, tell me. That's almost enough to shout, hallelujah, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, I want you to see the next picture here. There is one of my granddaughters, her name is Laura, walking out of the tomb and saying this, I am raised with Christ. Oh, I should tell you about Laura. She now is married and just 2 weeks ago and 2 days ago she gave birth to a baby, my little first great-grandchild. But she was with me on this trip, and also her sister. Would you take the next slide? This is Krista. She's walking out of the tomb, and she's saying the same thing with me. Would you say it with me? I am raised with Christ. Oh, by the way, Krista just got married on May the 20th. That's your birthday. That's right, Gord. But Krista's a nurse. But she said the same thing. I am raised with Christ. Oh, there's another picture here. That's my grandson, Andrew. He lives out in British Columbia. And he says the same thing. Say it with me again. I am raised with Christ. And I hope that all of you can say that from your heart. Now, I want you to take the next slide here because I want to chat with you about some important things. As you take notes, and I hope you do. By the way, one of the reasons why we provide this little sheet in your bulletin, and if you have one, I hope you do. Oh, some of you don't have bulletins. I'm sorry. But if you do, here, I'm going to give this to you. So you can, one of you at least can take some notes there. There you are. And I want you to think with me about this Colossians 3, which describes resurrection living. And this new resurrection living is to be lived out in these following practical ways. And as you do that, I want for you to begin to write down some words that will maybe help you to understand what we're talking about. And before you do that, I want you to look just a little before in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 20. You see that? You've got your Bibles open still. It says, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world. Did you know that when you received Jesus as your Savior, it was just as though you died with Him? That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you're receiving Him as your substitute. It should have been it should have been Jim Reese on that cross. But Jesus took my place. And when I receive Him as my Savior, I have died with Him. I want you to see something else in verse 12. Go back in chapter 2, verse 12. It says, talking about baptism, which is a picture, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. You not only died with Christ, but when you received Jesus as Savior, you were buried with Christ. But it doesn't stop there. You have also been raised with Christ the very moment you received Jesus as Savior. And what I'd like you to see with me here this morning are six different ways in which you and I are to live out our Christian life. And the first is, my Lord and I. That's what verses 1 to 4 talk about, don't they? My relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to look for a word, a little four-letter word in those four verses. And here's where it's helpful to have your Bibles out as well. The little word is with, W-I-T-H. Do you see that? And it's talking about the believer being identified with Jesus Christ. It says, first of all, I've died with Him, I've been raised with Him, and right now I am hidden with Him in God, and one of these days I'm going to be glorified with Him. Wow, that's the past, the present, and the future. Isn't that wonderful? That's true for every person who has received Jesus as Savior. In the past, when you opened your heart to Christ, you died with Him, you were buried with Him, you've been raised with Him. And right now, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And in the future, you're going to be glorified with Him in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Wow! Get a grip on that. That's worth a lot more than just about 2 minutes to talk about. That's why in a few weeks I'd like to take you into just those four verses later on. But let's go a little farther. There's a second area in which we are to live resurrection living. The first is my Lord and I. And the second area is myself and I. You ever talk to yourself and say, self? Well, I'd like for you to do that right now. I'd like for you to think about just you and how you've got to get along with yourself. Do you like yourself? Do you like what Jesus is doing in yourself? I hope you can say yes to that. And God wants you to see yourself in the light of resurrection living. And that's why he says, beginning with verse 5, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly, that sinful nature." And then he gets very specific about these things. He talks about sexual immorality. Did you realize that's one of the greatest problems in our world today? Impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which wants me, 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 I want this for myself. I don't care about other people, I just want this for me. Greed, which is what? Idolatry. And did you realize it's possible even for people who name the name of Christ, who've received Jesus, if we're not careful, to fall into all of those sins that were mentioned there? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And then Paul says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Did you realize there's coming a day on planet Earth when God's wrath is going to be revealed, and God's going to deal with sin, and God, who is not only holy, not only just, not only loving, but he's also, as I said, he's just. And he's going to deal with sin of all kinds. I'm glad he's going to do that, aren't you? Every one of us has a sense of right and wrong, and if somebody does something wrong, we say, well, boy, that needs to be dealt with. Listen, God is going to deal with it all. And because of sin, God's wrath is on its way. That's why it's so important, by the way, for every one of us to make sure that we are in Christ, that we've received Him as Savior, and that He has taken the punishment and the wrath for us on the cross, so that we are not then the focus of God's wrath. Only unforgiven sin is what will have to be dealt with then. He goes on to say, you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Boy, the Apostle Paul is getting pretty detailed there, isn't he? And he says, if you're now a raised person in Christ, you need to deal with these things. Positionally, I'm alive in Christ. But in my practical outliving, how's it going? And Paul says, we've got to deal with these things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. He goes on to say, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and with its practices, and you've now put on the new self. It's kind of like disrobing and re-robing. You put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. And God is calling every one of us to that kind of a life. And that's why it's so important for us to be in fellowship with one another. That's why God wants fellowships of believers like Maple Avenue Baptist Church, just so we can encourage each other to keep moving forward and to deal with sin and to let it be put behind us and to allow the new life of Jesus Christ to be flowing through ourselves. And he goes on to say, Christ is all and is in all. What does that mean? Every believer should just be so in love with the Lord Jesus. We sang it this morning. Thank you, Wayne, for leading us in that. Fairest Lord Jesus. Did that grab you as we sang it? Isn't He wonderful? Christ is all and is in all. And the degree to which you love Jesus tells us the degree to which you are spiritually healthy. How sad it is when believers get spiritually weak and sickly. And we look at all the problems around us. And, oh, he did that to me, she said that, all the other things. And our minds are all this way instead of this way. Set your hearts and your minds on things above. Christ is all and is in all. Wow, when you meet a person like that who's so in love with Jesus, they're a blessing to you. They just exude the resurrection life that God wants us to have. Well, anyway, those verses deal with myself and I. May I encourage you to get tough with yourself? Discipline yourself. Now, it's good to discipline yourself physically, and it's good to discipline yourself spiritually. I hope you are using and developing some spiritual disciplines in your life, such as regularly, daily, spending time feeding your heart, your mind, your soul in God's breakfast for you. And I hope also that you are enjoying the privilege of talking to God in prayer. What a privilege it is to actually... How many of you have talked to Queen Elizabeth recently? Anybody? There's one who has. Paul, good for you. Well, most of us weren't able to raise our hands on that. But tell me this, how many of you have talked to God? Actually, yeah. In fact, he invites you in. When my wife Adrian and I were visiting London, England, had a couple weeks there in that great city, we went to Buckingham Palace. We watched the changing of the guard, but we never got invited inside the fence. But you have been invited inside the fence. And God invites you to speak with him and to live in continual fellowship with him. Isn't that amazing? I hope that grips you so much that you want to say, from here on, I want to discipline myself to feed myself on God's Word, to enjoy continual relational fellowship with the Lord in prayer, where the line is always open, and you just have a sense. Did you know the Bible says, pray without ceasing? How do you do that? You can even do it when you're driving, but please don't close your eyes when you pray. And I hope that you take every opportunity to just be recognizing, I'm in connection with God. He's with me here. And tonight we're going to talk more about that in what it means, kingdom living. So God help us to discipline ourselves, myself and I, in resurrection living. Now let's take a little farther here. Let's talk about others and I, my other believers and I in particular. These verses 12 to 16, are talking about my relationship to all the other people who also have received Jesus as Savior. It also spills out even farther than that to everybody, but it begins with how we relate with each other. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people... Did you have a sense that you've been chosen? Remember playing baseball as a kid, and we're choosing up sides. And two of the big guys were the leaders, and they were going to be the two teams. And here we were, a bunch of guys standing there, wondering, who is he going to choose me to be on? Oh, I didn't like. Will he choose? Oh, next. Oh. And to be the last guy to be chosen doesn't make you feel very good. But I want you to know that before the foundation of the world, I'm talking to Christians here now. You looking at me? Before the foundation of the world, it wasn't last minute God said, well, yeah, I guess I'll invite him to come on my team. No, before the foundation of the world, God chose you to be on his team. You're special. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Now, holy means set apart, set aside from everything else for a special purpose. And God takes a believer who's received Jesus as Savior and sets you apart to be specially His. That's what it means to be holy. We were singing it this morning. Holy, holy, holy. God is holy. He is set apart from all the rest of us, and yet He invites us to be part with Him. And He calls us to live holy lives. And it goes on to say, holy and dearly loved. Oh, I wish I could express to you how much God really loves you. He really does. And as you sense that, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, what are we supposed to do? Remember in those previous verses, myself and I were to take off a bunch of things. Get rid of all that stuff. Now he says, I want you to put on some stuff. You saw two lists of five things to get rid of. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. He also said, get rid of anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. But now he gives us another list of five things. See it here in verse 12 and following? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Let's put this stuff on. With what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Wow, I could use all of that. He goes on to say, bear with each other. And I want you to notice how that word is spelt. B-E-A-R. That means put up with. Not B-A-R-E. That means expose. It's very easy in our old nature, with our earthly nature, to want to, okay, do you see that guy over there? Do you see the problem he's got? I'm going to bear that, let everybody see it. No. He says here, bear, that means carry, put up with, accept something that maybe you don't really care for, but bear with each other and what? Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Anybody got any grievances here this morning? Don't raise your hand on that. The reason I say that is because it's very possible that we do. But the Bible says, get rid of that. We talk often about unconditional love. Do you believe in that? How many of you believe in unconditional love? See your hands. Great. However, it's so easy to practice unconditional love selectively. Can you think of anybody that gives you trouble? Think about them right now. Now let's apply that scripture. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Oh, well, I'll try. How much must that be? Well, look what it says. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow. He forgave me from everything. That means that's the way I should forgive as well. God help us to do it. And then he says, there's one other thing I want you to put on besides these pieces of clothing that you're wrapping yourself in of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He says, and over all these, there's one more garment I want you to put on. Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And how blessed is a fellowship of believers, such as we are here in our wonderful church family here at Maple Avenue when all of us are wearing the garment of love, which binds them all together, all these other virtues, into unity. Now notice what he says in verse 15. As we relate to each other, he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Now, I want you to know there's somebody who doesn't like to see peace in the family of God. His name is Satan, the devil. And he loves to sow discord. But how blessed are the people who say, "Devil, you're not going to do that here. We are going to let the love of God so fill us that the peace of Christ is upon us. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Umpire is another word you could use for that. And then it goes on to say in verse 16, something else. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Not just a little bit, but richly. That's why it's so important for every one of us to be students of the Word. I have a grandson by the name of Greg, age 18. 2 days ago, he registered at a Bible school in Germany called Capernaum. And he is looking forward to this whole year of just saturating himself in this book, because before he goes off to university, and he's already scheduled to go to WLU next year, but he wants to have as much as possible a firm foundation by letting the Word of Christ dwell in him richly. Did you realize, and how sad this is, that many of our young people who grow up in church and then go off to a secular university lose their faith? Because they have not been equipped. They have not, though they've had Bible stories and they've had a lot of teaching and even their parents have taught them, yet when they are bombarded by the worldly philosophies that hit them in university, they are not equipped to counter that, to keep their stand for Christ. Would you pray for all of our young people from our church here who right now have entered university? All kinds of pressures upon them. Pray for them. Pray that they will not lose their faith. Pray that they will not lose their virginity. Pray that they will not lose their commitment to Jesus Christ, their commitment to the body of Christ, to the fellowship of God's people. Pray for our kids. Pray for them in high school. Pray for them in elementary school. Pray for them all. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's the answer. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. How many teachers do we have here? Several of you are professionally teachers. This verse says that every one of us actually has a teaching component to our calling in Christ as well. The Lord wants us to be ministering to each other. Teaching, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And we can do that on the basis of being dwelling in the Word richly. And it goes on to say, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. God's big on music. Heaven is full of music. Our lives should be full of music. That's why we take time to sing here every Sunday. Because music is at the heart of the new resurrection life. Now I want you to see, it also goes on in this chapter to say, here's another area, my activities and I. Look at verse 17. All that I do, I need to recognize I'm living resurrection living in all of my activities. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And we'll talk more about that in a future message. But now look at verses 18 to 21. This is my family and I. Oh. Then Paul gets very specific. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And some people would mock at that verse and say, that's not for today. This is the 21st century. Well, if you combine that with the next verse, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And it's because husbands in past generations and even in this generation have not treated their wives the way they should be treated. Loving them, and by that, that's the agape love, which means I'm willing, I'm sacrificing myself totally for you, my dear. Yeah, that makes all the difference in the world. Then it talks about children. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Oh, God help us. We'll talk about that in a further message down the line. But my family and I, resurrection living in my family makes a big difference. One other thing I want you to see, and with this we close. My job and I, and we saw that about employees and employers. God intends all of us to live resurrection living in the context of our employment. And we are to see our job as employees not as though we're just serving our boss, but we're actually serving the Lord. Oh, that makes such a difference on the job when you sense, I'm here today to serve Jesus Christ. Well, it's time to quit. Aren't you glad? Well, I hope all of you will be back with us tonight at 6:30. And this evening session is for teenagers. It's for young adults. It's for older adults. It's for everybody. And I hope you'll be with us at 6:30 tonight. But just before the worship team comes to conclude our service, I want you to see this final slide. Today, can you say this? Say this with me. Today I thank God for His resurrection power alive in me, and I commit my whole life to the Lord for resurrection living. Now, I hope all of you who are Christians said that. It could be that some of us are here today never have received Jesus as Savior. Let me read this next passage here. You might say this, or today I acknowledge that I am spiritually dead in sin. And right now, I ask Jesus to save me so that today I can begin resurrection living. May that be your prayer. And if that's your prayer today, would you chat with me after the service? I'll be back there. I'd just like you to tell me, today I commit my life to become a believer, a Christian, a follower of Christ, to begin resurrection living, to step out of the grave and to say, I am raised with Christ. God bless you. Team, come please as we sing.